Bradaloni's Hardware and Garden Stores brings you Garage Logic Podcast number 1287, tax day, April 15th, 2024. 91 degrees on this day in 2002, and 18 degrees, man, chilly, in 2014. Now, if you, you're heading towards the swimming season, I hope you've gotten a hold of Aquaside. They've been keeping swimming areas and lake shores great for more than 60 years because they wipe out the weeds and the algae with products that they make right there in White Bear Lake. The products are easy to use, they work quickly, and they're registered with the EPA and DNR. They're completely safe. There's no need to let weeds overtake your lake or pond this summer. Call Aquaside today. They'll help you identify your weed problem and make sure your place looks great all summer long. Call Aquaside at 1-800-328-9350 or go to aquaside.com. Now, Aquaside brings us the ice out dates. It's interesting to note that I would say April 15th. I haven't done the math, but April 15th must be the about half come before April 15th.
Sure.
And about half come after April 15th.
Like the midway point.
Because April 15th is fairly scarce for ice outs. Minnetonka opened on April 15th in 1863, and not again until 2022.
Climate change.
White Bear Lake, 1944 and 2002.
Hail the flashlight, King.
And now, from the mayor's office above the boathouse on the east shore of Spoon Lake, it's Garage Logic with Chris Reavers manning Technology Corner, Kenny Olson from the Krabby Coffee Shop, John Height in the newsroom, and of course, the rookie. Here is your flashlight king, fireworks commissioner, and the keeper of common sense, your mayor, Joe Soucheray.
To start the show on a happy note, I don't even consider it a ray of hope. It's just happiness. It's a happy note. Friday, just this past Friday, at Norwood Young America, it was Drive Your Tractor to School Day.
Oh, yeah. I saw some photos online.
At Central High in Norwood Young America. And I was sent a picture by Dave Larson. Isn't that wonderful?
That's very cool.
All right. Drive your... Now,
did
now
you guys have that at Hill?
No, no, but I'm old enough to continue to tell you that the high school parking lot used to be a car show.
Yep.
It certainly isn't anymore. The culture has done a marvelous job of disabusing young people of cars. It's just amazing to me.
A lot of them are unaffordable these days. The cool old ones are unaffordable. The new cool ones are unaffordable.
And they're, well, weren't they, relatively speaking, just as unaffordable?
I don't know. Were they? I've been actually spending a lot of time thinking about that lately.
Oh, it was just, now they're just driving mom's minivan to school.
For instance, in 1979, was a 69 Chevelle affordable? I don't know. I don't
more
remember.
More than it would be today.
In 83, I had a 65 Impala, and I don't think it cost more than $3,000. If I remember right, it had 37,000 on it when I got it.
I think I'm up to 40. I think I've had 40 cars.
Oh, I lost. I've kept track of motorcycles, but not cars.
Well, and those cars, speaking of which, they're going to get a lot more expensive to drive.
Why is that, Joe?
Well, there's a new proposed... can you give me the authors of Senate File 2584?
Yep. Bear with me for
just a
moment.
That's a tax on every gallon you buy. An independent analysis shows the bill could increase fuel prices significantly, hitting hardest those who can least afford it. An extra 50 cents or more per gallon.
Your first author is DFL Senator Scott Dibble.
Yep.
There's three.
Yep.
Your second author is Senator Fong H-A-W-J. I'm not sure how to pronounce his last name.
H-A-W-J.
Hogg.
And your final author is Senate Majority Leader Aaron Murphy.
What number is it? Which file is it?
Senate File 2584.
2584. Thank you.
Low-income families who already spend a larger share of their income on transportation could see their fuel expenses rise, consuming over 10% of their household budget. That's a penalty in your way of life. The bill is, the bill is modeled on California policy.
Well, that's fine, then.
Minnesotans have enjoyed some of the lowest gas prices compared to other households in the U.S., but Senate file...
We don't know that.
We have compared to other... California, for example.
Okay, true.
Senate file 2584 threatens to undo this, escalating... what am I reading from?
That was a website. I knew you were going to ask that.
It's obviously a gas advocacy group, which is I'm all for. Senate file 2584 threatens to undo this low pricing, escalating the average cost of Minnesota households spend on gas, pushing the state down the path of others like California, Oregon, and Washington, where fuel prices are among the highest in the nation. Why should Minnesotans bear the burden of a policy that makes life more expensive?
This was submitted by offsite correspondent Kelsey, and this is from the ConsumerEnergyAlliance.org website.
But what we've done is verify that this is a real proposed bill.
Correct.
It doesn't affect everyone equally. It disproportionately impacts those living in rural areas who depend on their vehicles for daily tasks and lack alternative transportation. It's not just about paying more at the pump. It's about the fundamental fairness of a policy that benefits few. That's amazing, a 50-cent increase. And what was is the purpose to save the earth?
Oh, yeah, this is...
Yeah, it's...
The CO2 is a very important gas. It's good for us. The amount of CO2 in the atmosphere is 0.04%, and to find the damage it does is like finding a grain of sugar on the bridge that goes over Interstate 35.
It's reducing the carbon intensity of transportation fuels. Aren't they talking carbon dioxide here, Joe?
Yeah, I said CO2.
I thought you mentioned carbon monoxide.
No.
All right.
Carbon monoxide is not good for you.
Right. Just scanning this, it looks like they're even covering farm vehicles like tractors and such.
Oh, well, I have the whole bill in front of me, but it's very small.
It's so
print.
Tedious. It's so hard to...
We don't want to live this way. Aaron Murphy, whose husband I know and hold in fond respect, he painted my house twice. He's a hell of a guy. He's an expert at this house painting. They don't advertise. Yeah, Hughes and Murphy. Hughes retired. Murphy's gotcha. Still going.
Got it.
He must live in a house divided because he's a normal guy. I mean, he's just a normal human being. And this won't affect Aaron much. I mean, what's her commute from St. Paul to the Capitol? About 5 minutes?
Nothing.
But it's another example of just being completely out of touch.
Well, you're not going to save the earth with this.
Exactly, Chris. It's people near the tallest buildings making decisions for the people who don't, you know?
These are not, you know what? They always throw around equity. This is not equitable. This forces a poor person to pay far more of their yearly income on gas than a rich person.
What's the definition of not equitable? That's what this is.
This is not equitable. Well,
this is intrusive.
We've talked about this before, but now we're talking the trickle-down effect. This is going to make goods more expensive because the guy that's delivering has to charge more.
Yeah. You know, the shows we did last week, part one and part two on Thursday and Friday, regarding Zayed Mohammed and Sean Holster.
Sean Holster, yeah.
What are you doing?
I got an update from him, but finish your thought.
They really created a lot of buzz.
To the point where Sean sent me a text yesterday saying, thank you and the crew again for having me on. My organization has already made over $1,500 so far as a direct result of my appearance on Garage Logic Friday. It doesn't sound like much, but for us, that is huge.
So
thank you, GLers.
I didn't intend for that to turn into his fundraiser. I think that was fine. It's great that he mentioned that. That's not why he was brought in.
No, not at all.
But he's a sharp guy, and he thought, what the hell, I'll take the opportunity here to try to raise a few bucks. We have another legislator that's interesting. Her name is Esther Agbaje. Rook, get on it. A-G-B-A-J-E. Agbaje.
A-G-A.
B-A-J. E. Agbaje, Esther Agbaje, DFL. She is hoping, she's along with two dozen DFLers, hoping to advance a bill that would require corporate landlords to divest their single-family homes or else face a $100,000 fine.
Sure.
This makes me uncomfortable.
It should.
House File 685 passed a party-line vote in the House committee, where its author said the proposal begins addressing the trend of corporate and investor owners in the housing market. Weren't both you and Kenny essentially investor owners of property?
Yep. I sure was. Mm-hmm. Yep.
The details of the bill have been scaled back from the original version. Representative Esther Agbaje, DFL, Minneapolis, introduced the bill she introduced last year, which would have prohibited any corporate entity, real estate developer, or residential building contractor from purchasing or building a single-family home and subsequently converting the property into non-homestead residential real estate. The version Agbaje presented to the House Judiciary and Financial and Civil Law Committee last Tuesday, would prevent corporate owners from owning more than 10 single-family homes in Minnesota that they use as rental properties. I'm trying to get to the why here. And if you violate that, she would fine you $100,000 per excess unit.
The Republicans just can't get any purchase in Minneapolis. She is an American politician serving in the DFL since 2021. 59B North and downtown Minneapolis. She's born in St. Paul. What? Two parents who immigrated to Minnesota from Nigeria. Mm-hmm. She grew up in Brainerd and Faribault and graduated from Shattuck St. Mary's.
Wow.
Graduated from George Washington University, Bachelor of Arts in Poli-Sci.
Can't flunk that.
University of Pennsylvania with a Master of Public Administration.
Can't flunk that.
Harvard University with a Juris Doctor.
Another lawyer.
As a law student, she worked at Harvard's Legal Aid Bureau and volunteered for volunteer lawyers. Before law school, she worked at the U.S. Department of State as a foreign service officer focusing on the Middle East.
So she's never had a job.
She was an associate with Cerisi Conlon LLP, where she did pro bono work.
She couldn't have lasted there. How old is she, Matt? She couldn't have lasted there long.
39.
39?
So, yes.
It caps it at, like you said, 10 single-family homes per person, corporation, whatever. So, Chris, little quiz. When you were renting a property, you had to mention that income on that property on your taxes and pay taxes on it, did you not?
Sure did, Ken.
Yeah, plus you paid a non-homestead tax, did you not?
Sure did, Ken.
So if this dries up, what's going to happen to that revenue?
That's going to go away, Ken.
The committee voted to advance the bill to its next stop, the Housing, Finance, and Policy Committee, on a party-line vote. DFL legislators who have either signed on to the bill or have voted to support it include Jamie Becker-Finn of Roseville, Ned Carroll of Plymouth, Breon Curran of Adness Heights, Sandra Feist of New Brighton, Lee Finke of St. Paul, Luke Frederick of Mankato, Matt Norris of Blaine, and Kristen Bonner of Maple Grove. Republicans on the committee criticized the bill as government overreach into the housing market. But it certainly sounds like it, doesn't it? Isn't it an old tried and true way of trying to make a buck in this country is owning property?
This is right. Not the government's role.
Well, it's part of the American dream. It's what we've...
The Republicans...
Did you mention the Equity and Peace Coalition?
I'm getting there. God, Representative Peggy Scott.
That's amazing.
A Republican from Andover.
She's a questioned. GR.
I know her, yeah.
Questioned several provisions, including the creation of a mandatory single-family home rental database that would allow the Attorney General's office to track the number of single-family rental properties owned by business entities, including the monthly rent they charge. Quite frankly, it's none of the government's business what I'm charging for rent, unless it's Section 8, she said, as right. Federally fund housing, federally yep. owned housing.
And she's right.
I have a real problem with putting out there what the rent amounts are. I don't see the need for a database. The legislation is supported by a coalition of housing activist organizations under the umbrella of Minneapolis-based Equity in Place. Well, you equity people should be getting on the Democrats who want to raise your gallon of gas 50 cents a gallon, along with the Twin Cities chapter of Habitat for Humanity, whose representatives told legislators that corporate investment in the housing market is a statewide issue that needs to be addressed. Why? We appreciate the fine, the fine-based approach, meaning a fine for violating, in this amendment, and would suggest that the resources accumulated be designated to the Workforce and Affordable Home Ownership Program. So they'd fine you guys that own property, and then they apparently they would use that money so somebody could go and rent a house from you.
Why don't they just take it from me? Why don't they just declare eminent domain and take it out of my hands?
I wouldn't give them any
ideas. Pay me bottom dollar for it.
Those representing the single-family home rental industry say such. Now, according to this, I could still go buy the house across the street and rent it.
Right.
But the rent I charge might be in a database, and I'd be frowned upon by the Mysterians. Well, but I can still do that because they haven't gotten that far yet.
Right, and the rent you charge is what the market bears.
We're talking less than 10 properties.
But if I own 11 of those properties, I'm fine on the 11th one.
Yep. Now they're after you.
But those representing the single-family home rent, I wonder how they arrived at 10.
What's their number?
Why is that okay?
Very arbitrary, you're right.
Why isn't 11 okay?
I bet they don't even know. I bet they couldn't answer that.
But those representing the single-family home rental industry say such language is unconstitutional on several grounds, including by violating the Takings Clause and Equal Protection Amendment of the federal Minnesota constitutions. As of 2023, about 165,000 single-family residential units across Minnesota were rented out. A ban on the corporate ownership of single-family homes violates owners' rights against government takings by instituting a regulation which impermissibly interferes with owners' rights of enjoyment and disposition of their property, wrote David Howard, CEO of the National Home Rental Council, in testimony opposing the bill. At a time when housing throughout America is challenged by an unprecedented shortage of homes brought on by decades of underbuilding, any legislation or regulation like House File 685 discouraging and restraining new housing development investment only serves to make housing more scarce and unobtainable, Howard said. Other organizations opposed to the proposal include the Minnesota Realtors Association. We've heard concerns about large institutional investors, said Pat Paulson, a longtime Twin Cities realtor and treasurer of the Minnesota Realtors Association. However, the ownership threshold in this bill is 10 or more. That threshold will cover smaller local housing providers. Lawmakers who fell on different sides of the bill spent time during recent hearings arguing over whether the legislature's role is to direct the housing market or get out of the way. We're losing the ability of the government to get out of the way of anything. You have the president not getting out of the way of automobile manufacturing and letting the market decide. He's forcing you to buy an electric car. Actually, he's forcing manufacturers to build them at tremendous losses to them. And yet you as a taxpayer have to subsidize the purchase of them. Well, okay, there are just a lot of homes that people could live in if we wanted them to, said Representative Finke. We are taking the resources we have. You don't have anything, Finke. You didn't build a house. And putting them in the hands of fewer people who have more control over what people are trying to access, and that will always lead down the wrong path for our communities. Representative Harry Niska, a Republican from Ramsey, pointed out that many corporate investors in the single-family real estate market are pension funds or small family businesses. With this bill, I think you're potentially going to wrap up a lot of other people rather than the fat cats you think you're applying this to, Niska said. I got this story from Alpha News. I think it's a dreadful intrusion on property ownership.
That's a really interesting and proper quote. I mean, he really hit the nail on the head there. Basically, what he said is this is retirement income for folks. because their retirement isn't enough to survive on. So the few houses that they own and that they earn rental on, that's their income.
Keep all of this in mind for the one of the reasons we had part one and two last Thursday and Friday. The only reason, or the principal reason, we brought in Sean Holster was because he ran against a woman in Minneapolis named, was it Zagreb?
Zaida
Mohammed, who defeated him 39,000.
No, it's Zainab.
Zainab Mohammed, who defeated Sean Holston in a South Minneapolis district 63 for a Senate seat by 39,000 votes to nothing, essentially. And well, you got 6,000. And I wanted to know from Sean Holster, what's going on? Who are these people? And he was very good at explaining that. But the other reason I brought him in is one of Zaida's quotes was, when it comes to somebody living in a home that they don't own, that they shouldn't be hassled because they're just as much human as, right. Even though they don't have documentation, they're just as human as the owner of the house, which isn't the issue. No one's questioning anyone's humanity. So couple her views of private property ownership with this, and there's probably a very comfortable, large movement among the DFLers who are no longer your parents' DFL. These are Marxist socialists who don't want private property ownership. Here's another attack on it.
Mm-hmm.
What these are dreadful directions for the legislature to go, all under the auspices of the worst governor in the history of Minnesota, who has had no ability to intervene or nor wish to, apparently. Occasionally, he should be coming forward to say, you kids are always going too far. You've gone too far on the fact that we're going to build a new office building. You're going too far on these property issues. But he's just a moron who doesn't know what the hell he's doing and is the worst governor in the history of Minnesota.
He finally joined our side.
Oh, boy, did I ever.
This is a forced decline.
Yeah.
This is the taking relative decline, American decline, managed decline, and forcing all of them on, foisting, I should even use that word, upon us.
With Precision Garage Door of the Twin Cities in Western Wisconsin, do you realize you can get $100 off your fee on any single car garage and $200 off any double garage? These are for doors. Because among their other great talents, they install new garage doors and they offer free on-site new door consultations and estimates. So you can schedule a free...
On-site. It's not...
You don't have to bring
site.
The garage to them.
Okay, it's on-site.
You can schedule a free on-site new door estimate with one of the garage door designers. There's models for every budget, and it's more than a door. You know what you're doing? You're tightening up the place.
It's nothing.
You're taking away some of the drafts. You're improving security. You're improving your heating bill. Call Precision Garage Door of the Twin Cities in Western Wisconsin. Remember, they don't charge more for weekends. Call them at 612-263-6985 to schedule your free on-site new door estimate. Mention GL New Door Special of $100 off on a single door and $200 off on any double door, and find them also at precisiondoormn.com.
It's about the only left-hand car drive of that manufacturer in the United States.
Right.
It was
right.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
And then the Seafoam.
Here's a man who spends hours in hardware stores sifting
button.
Through the nuts and bolts of life, Joe Souchere.
If you want the best lawn on the block, you've got to go with the best, ProfessionalTurf.com. They've been kicking it in the Twin Cities since 1982. Now, if you're looking to maximize your outdoor living space this summer, ProTurf has that covered too. And you got to read between the lines here. Every time you hear me say maximize your outdoor living space, What I'm really saying is force the equity of your property up. Make that property worth more. And you know what? You'll just love it anyway. The work that they do is amazing. Their division, the landscaping division, that is, will work with you to design your landscape project using Voodoo, digital Voodoo, photography and imaging software. So you're going to see how it looks before they even start. They specialize in the installation of virtually everything from trees to patios, fire pits, retaining walls, water features. It doesn't matter what your dream is. ProTurf will get you there. And if you don't have a dream, you just want it to be better, they can help you out with that too. They'll give you a lot of options to choose from. The best lawn in the neighborhood and amazing outdoor environments. You can see it all at professionalturf.com.
In New York, property owners who have seen their home taken over by an illegal immigrant, they cannot turn off the water or electricity. And there's a law that says squatters are turned into tenants after 30 days. This is from the town hall. I don't know that website. Written by Sarah Arnold. New York City homeowners are being pushed to financial limits due to a law that allows squatters to live rent-free. At the same time, the owners are forced to keep paying electricity and maintenance bills for the apartments. Under New York City law, anyone who lives in a home or apartment for at least 30 days can claim squatters' rights, even if they broke into the property without permission from the owner. What the hell? Several homeowners told CBS that they would be arrested instantly if they were to change the locks, evict the squatters, or turn off necessities such as hot water. They are forced to pay for the upkeep of the homes while squatters, many of whom are illegal immigrants, get to live in them for free. One woman told the outlet that she is in debt with maxed out credit cards after having to pay all of the expenses as squatters take over her home. They turned off the hot water and then reported that they had no hot water. It's a $250 fine a day, up to $15,000 punishable by 5 years in jail. Homeowner Susan Mascara told CBS News. You got to be kidding me.
That's interesting. So are we to assume that in New York, and I looked for this and I couldn't find the answer, are we to assume that landlords have to pay those utilities? Because when I've done it, utilities have been the responsibility of the people living in the unit, and they'll get turned off when that person moves out, or the landlord will take over the payments.
If that was your apartment and you're not there, and it was your obligation to pay the utility bills, you have to, even though a squatter is living in your apartment.
Oof. Huh. And it doesn't seem, from what I'm looking at here, there doesn't seem to be any way around it.
In San Francisco, there's a bill that'll let people sue grocery stores if they close.
Right.
Okay, we're going to close, so I'm going to sue you because you're closing your grocery store for whatever reason.
Are you beginning to see that this is all of a piece?
Of S. Yes.
The San Francisco Board of Supervisors is considering a policy that will allow people to sue grocery stores that close too quickly. In other words, if they encounter a crime and they throw up the close sign, they can be sued. Earlier this week, Supervisors Dean Preston and Aaron Peskin introduced an ordinance that, if passed, would require grocery stores to provide 6 months' written notice to the city before closing down. Isn't that, again, an intrusion into private property? Supermarket operators would also have to make good-faith efforts to ensure the continued availability of groceries at their shuttered location. Either through finding a successor store, helping residents form a co-op, or any other plan that might work out by meeting with city and neighborhood residents. Lest one thinks this is some heavy-handed city hall intervention, the ordinance makes clear that the owners still retain the power to close their store. It also creates a number of exemptions for the six-month notice. If a store is closing because of a natural disaster or business circumstances that aren't reasonably foreseeable, It doesn't have to provide a six-month notice. Still, should stores close without providing the proper notice, persons affected by the closure would be entitled to sue the closed store for damages.
What the hell are we doing?
What? I don't know anymore.
What the hell is going on?
Who's steering? Who's got the helm right now?
Preston, the supervisor, has been floating this ordinance since January when a Safeway in the city's Fillmore neighborhood announced it was closing before city officials intervened to keep it open.
What? Hey, I want to close my business. Oh, no, you're not.
No, hang on.
Wait, what? No, you need to stay open so that we can continue to rob you every single day. That is our right as an American.
What
a clown show.
What
this
the
has
hell?
Become.
I know this is going to seem like a bizarre question, but do these policies exist in cities with unusually large rat populations? Because if you saw the propaganda page today in New York, lawmakers are looking for more humane ways to kill rats.
Yeah, you use birth control pills.
Yeah, and getting rid of glue traps.
Right.
I read that story three times just to make sure I wasn't losing my mind.
It's just crazy goes arm in arm with crazy. I mean, just everything is crazy in these cities.
Hey, we know you're going to kill that rat, but could you do it nicer?
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
Could you find a nice way to kill that rat? What the heck? Seriously.
Pat it on the head and kiss it on the nose 99. And say, bye-bye. You're going to heaven now. 99. A better place.
Whatever the impact on the proposed grocery store policy, it provides a telling insight into just how much micromanagement San Francisco politicians think their city needs. When we're seeing it here.
Mm. Yep.
We're going to micromanage rental properties.
Yeah, complete government control. Well, it's micromanaging of everything from helium to cannabis to rental properties. Everything, nothing's off the table here.
And the cannabis thing has been described as the way we once described our first podcast.
Yes, that is a perfect example.
It's been described as they're still building the plane as it taxis down the runway.
Yes, that is that's a perfect
That was us on show one.
Yeah.
We're at about 130 miles an hour here. We're about to lift off, but we're not done yet.
Hang on.
We might not even have the wing attached.
We're just hooking up the electrical.
I wish I had the figure in front of me. I didn't know you were going to bring it up. One of the things with the cannabis is you can have pounds and pounds and pounds of weed, but you can only grow 8 plants. And it just none of it meshes together.
And we're heavy on the equitable aspect.
Oh, my God. If you serve time for cannabis-related crimes, you go to the front of the line as far as owning and operating a dispensary.
Yep.
And growing.
Jesse Ventura is joining us Wednesday live in studio. I would imagine that's something he would wish to talk about.
Probably.
I hope so.
Anyway,
I hope
he
so.
Will. He'll open up.
Hello, everybody.
No, stop practicing.
That's podcast number one.
Jack and Lori have been doing this over the years.
Number one, probably. Right there. I don't want to hear
Turn
it.
It off.
Very unnerving.
Turn it off.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
He cracked a microphone for the first time in his life.
I know. I didn't. I had no... let's go down to Dalton, Illinois. I'm sorry.
Oh.
Dalton.
Oh. Our favorite mayor,
Tiffany Henyard.
I wish I'd have known you were.
She, you have some stuff on her?
I had audio from her on Friday that we never got a chance to
get to. Well, you go ahead and find it and tell me when you're ready.
See if I can dig it up.
She has faced waves of jeers and booing from fed-up constituents. She calls herself the super mayor of Dalton. That's a Chicago suburb. She has been dubbed the worst mayor in America. Well, that's a relief to me.
Yeah. She
has recently been dubbed the worst mayor in America by critics after being accused of misdeeds ranging from weaponizing police raids to spending taxpayer money on luxuries in Vegas. Most recently, she's also come under fire for an alleged sexual assault by one of her allies during a Vegas trip, where the alleged victim claims to have been fined after speaking out. She's a POS. And why don't they What do you got there?
They tried, Joe.
What do you got, Chris?
Sorry, this is her amidst the allegations where she's talking to her constituents. Mm-hmm. It did not go well for her.
We're here to help each other, not hurt each other. And it's a shame that us, I'm talking to my black and brown communities, will sit here and fight.
They turned on her pretty quick.
I didn't understand a word she said.
Well, she pulled out the race card, right?
100%.
And
they all started yelling, right?
Yeah. And are we to assume that the audience was, as she put it, black and brown?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
They were not having it. No, I'll rephrase it. They were not feeling it.
Well, Joe, right. The voters have tried for a few years to get her out of office, and she's got some kind of grasp on power that can't be...
I don't see it getting any better. Listen to this.
Relinquished.
The village of Dalton just last Monday hired... former Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot as a special investigator to look into Henyard's conduct.
Oh, good
That's
Lord.
That's the fox guarding the hen house. On Tuesday, Lightfoot began to be paid $400 an hour to gather information on Henyard's alleged spending and finance mismanagement, as well as any state and federal violations.
400 times 8. Equals $3,000
a day.
So, Matthew, I want to know where you're at. If you're making $400 an hour, are you putting in an 8-hour day? Or are you going to maybe cut it off at 4 hours? What's your policy on $400 an hour?
I'm happy with cutting half day.
Same here. I'm working.
Why do I want to max myself out when I got this good?
Right.
In the interest of self-preservation, I'm taking
because
those a good 4 hours.
That'll make a 6-month job 12 months.
Perfect. Kenny, you and I think alike. I like your tone today.
And then in some cases, too, you're going to send out the group email that says, hey, I'm going to work from home today.
Yeah. Wait, I think I screwed up. You'd still make the same amount of money, though, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but you'd be at the office more.
Lori will. There's not a doubt in my mind.
You know what? Let's try to remain positive, Joe.
About what?
Maybe she will find some infractions upon her investigation.
Lori bleeping Lightfoot. Unbelievable. That used to be a hell of a town.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be a toddling town.
Wait till that convention comes to town this summer.
Wait a minute. When was that exactly? Because they've always been the most corrupt city in the United States, haven't they? Back to the Civil War.
1860s. It was
pre-Civil War. They were A-okay.
They went downhill about the time Mrs. O'Leary's cow tipped that lantern over.
Yeah.
The big one. Burned the whole damn town down.
Well, Chicago also has other issues. I don't know if John was going to get to this in his news, but...
we're going to find out, aren't we? Because we're going to go to John.
Well,
I do have that.
You have the O'Hare story?
Oh, no, I don't have that. I'm sorry. I had numerous shootings.
The pro-Palestine crowd, Joe, has blocked a lot of entrances off the Kennedy Expressway to O'Hare International, and the people are not happy with this. It's making... I got it right here. All outbound lanes on the Kennedy Expressway at O'Hare have been blocked by pro-Palestine protesters.
Yeah. Do you get arrested if you drive over them?
I would probably suggest you not doing that. But most of that traffic, wouldn't it be Uber, Lyft, taxi?
I have no idea.
You know what I'm saying?
Thank.
Chris, you mentioned this earlier, and I did see it on Twitter also. The pro-Palestinian group has also blocked the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco.
Ah.
So that's at a standstill.
We got her all figured out in
San Francisco, Chicago, yeah.
Isn't it good enough for them that Iran is trying to bomb Israel? Did you watch how that Iron Dome operates?
Boy.
Yeah.
It's like a fireworks show.
Yeah.
Answer me something about today's
Batman.
Today's Star Tribune. Do you think that story was given enough ink?
Which one?
What's went on over the weekend with the bombing?
I don't know.
It was kind of a sidebar above the fold.
Yesterday's paper had a huge spread on it, though.
Oh, it did? All right. I didn't look at the paper yesterday.
Well, the story in today's Star Tribune is Trump,
which is
shocking.
Right.
And CNN couldn't leave Israel fast enough today to get to the courtroom and talk about Trump,
right?
Yeah.
Just couldn't do it fast enough.
Yeah, Chris is right. It's gigantic headlines in yesterday's Star Tribune.
Okay. Yeah. All right. My fault.
Israel attacked by Iran.
Glad I brought it up.
See, I've been sharing great news with you about Renewal by Anderson and their Acclaim replacement windows, because if you're a Minnesotan, you know Renewal by Anderson is your best bet. And Renewal by Anderson is a J.D. Power Award winner. They garner most five-star reviews among any leading full-service window replacement company. You go to their website, you can find the verification of all that. They engineer and manufacture those windows right here in Minnesota. They're the best, and they can prove it. They're called Acclaim Replacement Windows. You know somebody who's used Renewal by Anderson if you haven't yourself. Their engineering and innovation is present in every component, providing Acclaim windows with their renowned beauty, durability, and performance. And it's not just windows. It's patio doors and entry doors. Renewal by Anderson has the best products and the best service. Learn more at renewalbyanderson.com/garagelogic. I guess they want to know if you heard about it here, huh?
Yeah, track.
Or call Renewal by Anderson at 651-705-6931, renewalbyanderson.com.
Huh?
It's the end of the world as we know it, and he feels fine. Joe Souchere.
Question for our hero, Matthew Mikulski. They call him the Rook. Matt, what season? Now, this is in relation to Seafoam. What season are we coming up on?
Oh, we are for sure coming up on grass mowing season.
Well, that's a swing and a miss, but a very good guess. Go ahead, Chris Reavers.
Is it Bugs Be Gone season?
No, that's also a very good guess and appropriate.
Boating season?
Thank you. That's why he's the mayor and the fireworks commissioner.
No, he did not.
I mean, he's the man. It's a boat and pontoon season. I hope you treated those cylinders with a good dose of Seafoam last fall, because all the common engines that plague our cylinders, and I'm talking four-stroke and two-stroke when it comes to your boat motors, they're all eliminated when it gets occasional doses of Seafoam in the gas. All those costly repairs that take money out of our wallet, and you're delayed putting your boat in because it's at the shop, it's all taken care of with Seafoam. Occasional hits throughout the season and a nice dose at the end of the season. All we ask of our cylinders is to run better and last longer. And that's exactly what Seafoam motor treatment provides us. The best way to save money. And even better for us, it's available everywhere. Yeah, the marina, the boat store, the hardware store, the big box store. You'll find Seafoam everywhere. A wonderful product in a world of bad gas. Seafoam.
Here's John Haidt.
Thank you, Joe. This news is brought to you by North American Banking Company. A police chase in southern Minnesota yesterday ended with the death of one person. Authorities with the Dodge County Sheriff's Office said it all started about 7:30 in the evening when a West Concord police officer tried to pull a person over. That person identified as being male by authorities. That's when the sheriff's office says the driver rammed his vehicle into the officer squad and took off. A witness who saw the crash follow the male driver helped deputies track him down. Deputies then chased the man for about 30 miles to Cannon Falls, where authorities say the driver took his own life in the Mayo Clinic Health System Cannon Falls Hospital's parking lot. The hospital was placed on lockdown briefly. Authorities add no law enforcement officials fired their weapons. The Bureau of Criminal Apprehension now investigating the incident. The West Concord officer whose squad was hit by the suspect vehicle was treated for minor injuries at the hospital.
Did he have a prior that led this, John?
They haven't identified him yet, so I'm not sure. Okay. Or not sure, I guess, what's going on.
Very bizarre and sad story.
Yep. Minneapolis police say they've arrested two people who are suspected of shooting three people on the city's north side last night. According to police, officers called to the 1800 block of Lowry Avenue North shortly after 9, after getting a multiple calls shot about shots being fired and shot spotter activation. Police add three people. Two men, one woman, arrived at North Memorial Hospital with gunshot wounds. One of the men, identified as being in his 30s, had injuries considered to be potentially life-threatening. The other man, as well as the woman, who are also in their 30s, had non-life-threatening injuries. Minneapolis police say their preliminary info shows shots were fired from a vehicle. Suspect vehicle was found near Dowling and Penn Avenues North, where officers say they arrested two men, both identified as being in their late 20s.
John, hold on for a second. Such, you're looking at the paper. If you go back a couple of pages, you'll see a sidebar story about a shooting in Chicago over the weekend where 11 people were shot standing out in front of a house. You got that one, John?
It's coming up later in the news.
Oh, good.
The whole weekend plus that, specifically that shooting.
What a mess.
Yep. Minneapolis restaurant located near Nicollet Island has been deemed uninhabitable following a fire Sunday afternoon. According to the Minneapolis Fire Department, crews were called to Masu Sushi and Robata shortly after 3 p.m. When they got there, crews found smoke coming from the roof and fire in the kitchen, a fire extinguishment hood system, and vents. Water was run through the vents to extinguish the flames. Crews then tore up three of the hood vents and ceiling to reach all of the fire. No one was injured during the fire, which is still under investigation.
Which building is that? Is that the one right next to Hennepin? You can look down on it as you drive by?
I can't picture it.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Anyway.
More than a dozen Minnesota counties are under a red flag warning today. That warning means fires will be able to quickly spread and easily get out of control because of our weather conditions. Weather Authority is predicting highs in the upper 60s and low 70s today. Weather Service says winds will be 10 to 15 miles an hour with higher gusts at times and humidity values dropping into the 20s during the afternoon hours. That warning is in effect from 11 a.m. through 8 p.m. for Brown, Cottonwood, Jackson, Lincoln, Lyon, Martin, Murray, Nobles, Pipestone, Redwood, Rock, and Yellow Medicine counties. Residents
his
in those
head
counties.
Is spinning right now.
Why don't you just say all 87?
Wow. His eyes just rolled back.
I can't keep up.
I should have said, Joe, what are all the B counties? Joe, what are all the C
Becker,
counties?
Becker, Belshammy, Benton, Big Stone, Blue Earth, and Brown.
And Brown is the one. Yeah. Ding, ding, ding. Anyway, residents in all those counties are being asked to not burn while the warming is in effect. DNR officials won't be activating open burn permits for large vegetative debris during the warning. They're also discouraging campfires. Now, we do have rain in the forecast for later on this week. Before that, though, tomorrow they're saying very, very, very gusty winds before the rain moves in.
May I say that grass fires have been with us since the beginning of time. In case you're thinking they have something to do with the climate.
Are you thinking they might be unstoppable? They just can't
not
stop them?
All of them have been caused by Kenny burning tires.
That's right.
So there's a human factor in there.
Boy, I bet Kerry was really angry this weekend when he had his cocktail on the porch in Nantucket that those damn Iranians were polluting with the bombs.
Mm-hmm. How dare they?
Couldn't they conduct war in a more peaceful way?
Come on.
Speaking of Kerry, before you break us away, John, one of my neighbors informed me the best time to burn tires is on foggy, foggy days because nobody can see the smoke.
But then you think the fog stinks.
Brilliant. Yeah,
it's got a real stinky fog today.
Don't burn tires, Kenny.
Well,
it's not good for our mother, the earth.
I promise.
There was a house that was being burned down intentionally because they had built a new one behind it on Saturday, and the forecast called for the winds to pick up later in the day. When the little guy and I were driving to practice, we said, oh, we got to go see this. Mm-hmm. The flames were horizontal. The wind was blowing. Oh. So
I thought you were going to say the new house caught on fire.
No, but the wind was blowing it away in the opposite direction. But boy, oh boy, that was something else to watch. Holy cow. Huh.
I'll drive miles to see a good fire.
100%, yes.
You see the smoke on the horizon, you've got the rest of the day planned.
We
got
to get her going.
Follow the smoke. It's like chasing tornadoes. Yeah. Yeah. It's a different life out here in the country,
Joe,
John.
In fact, both of us, Joe, both me and my 9-year-old son were watching it going,
really?
With our mouth open like this.
A cape?
So pretty much business as usual for you, Chris.
That's
why
right.
Don't we take a break at this point?
Little drool coming out the side.
You just couldn't help yourself, could you, John?
I couldn't.
Why you know what? Chris, I could put out that fire
tell
with.
Us what you're thinking.
I could
your
put
tears.
Out that fire with
your tears.
Hofferman Water.
Oh my Lord!
See, that's what a segue is right there, ladies and gentlemen. Here's the deal: Hofferman Water is the best in the business, so you need to get on that schedule right now for a free water analysis. Have them come out like I did, and then they could tell you how awful that your water is. I did it years ago, and I'm very happy that I made the switch, and I know that you will be too. So give them a call today, 612 612-895-2440. I didn't see you write that number down. I'll give it again.
Wait a minute.
612-895-2440.
All right.
That's the phone number. Or, Joe, you can just go to www.hoffermanwater.com. If you go on their website, you can see every single system that they have to offer, whether it's a brand new water softener, an iron rust and odor filtration system, or a brand new drinking water system. Hofferman Water and Connecticut are going to take care of you and all of your water needs. And that's because Hofferman Water has been proudly serving the state of Minnesota for over 50 years. Please tell them that you heard about them here on the Garage Logic Podcast.
Patrick Ricey here with the Canopy Group Facts. Fact one, the Canopy Group writes more new business in 1 month than an agent who represents one company writes in 3 years. How is this possible? We'll give you the other facts to understand why. Fact two, the Canopy Group offers 16 different insurance companies, not just one. Fact three, the Canopy Group offers annual policies, not 6 month policies that leave you at risk for two premium increases annually. Fact four, the Canopy Group offers one deductible at claim time, not two, three, four, or even more. Fact five, the Canopy Group will shop your home and auto insurance with their 16 companies each and every year. Captive insurance agencies can't shop for you because they only have one company. Now that you have the facts, it's time to get your options. Call 800-967-3389 or visit thecanopygroup.com.
Sometimes I have to treat you like you're already having memory issues, and I just have to agree with you. It's like, yep, that's right, Dad.
Yep.
Yep. You couldn't be more correct, Dad.
Oh.
You don't want some more ice in your water?
The Earth is not your mother. The Joe Soucheray Show.
Yeah.
In other news, and I hope you can remember all of this, Joe, when I'm done. Israel promising revenge against Iran's airstrike, warning we will exact a price in the way and at the time that's right for us. War Minister Benny Gantz's threat came after 99% of more than the 300 drones and missiles launched from Iranian soil were intercepted. British, U.S., French, and Jordanian forces, plus Israel's defense systems, downed most of the aerial barrage. Gantz pledged to build a regional coalition in the face of the Iranian threat. Adding to his exact price comment, he said Iran is a global problem, a regional challenge, and a danger to Israel as well. And today, the world stood clearly together with Israel against that threat.
I have a question.
Oh,
it's clear now that we are on the precipice of world war. Do we get a playbook? Who's going to fire the first nuke at who? And do we get all that information ahead of time? Or
no.
We just got to kind of wait?
We're just going to worry about the Trump trial.
I see. Okay, cool.
Is that going to dribble
that lead in?
Is that going to dribble into the United States, or is it going to stay there?
It'll stay there.
All right.
We can't interfere with our sports season.
What?
Baseball season.
Right.
Wall Street Journal reporting Donald Trump's hush money trial began this morning in one of the bluest parts of the country, where a jury full of Democrats could decide the presumptive Republican presidential nominee's fate. Jury selection in the case involving the alleged cover-up of a payment to buy a porn star's silence could take a week or more. The presiding judge, as well as prosecutors and Trump's lawyers, are expected to question hundreds of prospective jurors to weed out anyone who can't set aside views of the former president whose tenure sparked deep divisions. Picking an impartial jury, on Democratic turf, where President Biden won 87% of the vote in the 2020 election, will be challenging, according to trial consultants. Litigation consultant Alan Turkheimer said of Trump, "I can't think of another place where he's more loathed than his hometown of New York City." On Monday morning, Trump arrived at the courthouse before 9:30, getting ready for the trial. Manhattan prosecutors have charged him with 34 counts of falsifying business records to hide a payment to X-rated film star Stormy Daniels ahead of the 2016 election. It was the first of four criminal cases brought against Trump in state and federal courts. Might be the only case that wraps up ahead of the November election.
You'd have to go deep into the Brazilian rainforest where those people fire arrows at planes and stuff because they've never seen them to get a jury that's never heard of this guy.
Yeah. Which one of you guys are a lawyer? Because I have a question about law. You're a lawyer.
Yeah.
when it comes to buying somebody's silence, if he paid her off, isn't she supposed to, by law and the agreement, supposed to be silent?
Absolutely.
She had an in, what's it called, NDA, right?
Yeah.
It's non-disclosure agreement.
Yeah.
And when they first questioned her, she said, no, I don't know the guy. I never met him.
Yeah.
And then, because she thought she was bound by that.
Yeah.
And then within a week, she changed and said, well, it's not really true. I thought I couldn't say anything. Here's the deal. And that's what
I think that's what Trump's referring to. He went odd. He went full otter this morning and said, America's under attack. I'm not going to sit here and let the fine rules of my relationship with a hooker be violated by the law.
Well, so a non-disclosure agreement isn't enforceable?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I thought you were a lawyer.
Joe is.
No, I just made that up.
Oh.
In 50 Shades of Gray, that did. The
all right, next story, John.
You know, the one book you've read really doesn't allow you many opportunities to weigh in on things. It's not very germane to anything.
You didn't actually read that,
covert.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you read that, Matthew?
All three of them.
Yeah, I remember him telling
us
that.
It's the worst writing I've ever encountered, ever. Yeah,
you know. What did he know?
Right. Okay, Shakespeare, thank you. He does protest too much. There's something rotten in Denmark.
Oh,
I don't think that has to be the Jesse voice.
He doth protest too much.
Oh, my goodness.
Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas was absent from court this morning. No explanation. The 75-year-old Thomas was not taking part remotely in arguments either, as justices sometimes do when they're ill or can't be there in person. Chief Justice John Roberts announced Thomas's absence, saying his colleagues would still participate in the day's cases based on the briefs and transcripts of the arguments. Thomas was hospitalized 2 years ago with an infection, causing him to miss several court sessions. He took part in cases then, too. He's the longest serving of the current justices, joining the Supreme Court in 1991. After reporting dismal first quarter sales, Tesla is planning to lay off about one-tenth of its workforce as it tries to cut costs. CEO Elon Musk detailed the plans in a memo sent to employees. The layoffs could affect about 14,000 of the 140,000 workers employed by the company at the end of last year. Shares of Tesla fell 3% at the opening bell this morning after the news broke. They, so far this year, have lost about one-third of their value.
I hate those things. The front end looks like a fish.
What's with that whole Elon Musk deal anyway?
Yeah, what about that?
You know, where's that going?
What's the deal?
How about that thing? Where's that going? Is that your science experiment?
Black cherry frost from Aldi.
Good
really good
stuff.
Good stuff, Maynard.
A police officer and several bystanders being hailed for running toward danger to confront an attacker who stabbed and killed six people at a suburban Sydney, Australia shopping center over the weekend. The shopping mall, one of the country's busiest and near the world-famous Bondi Beach, was a hub of activity on Saturday afternoon when 40-year-old Joel Cauchy used a knife to kill five women and one man. He also injured at least a dozen others, including a nine-month-old baby whose mother died during the attack before a police officer shot him dead. New South Wales police confirmed Sunday Cauchy had a history of mental illness. Investigators weren't treating the attack as terrorism related. Yes, sir.
I was going to say, didn't they also have another situation in Sydney?
They do, church.
With a church pastor, right?
This morning, yep.
These are unrelated, though, right?
Unrelated, yes. The number would have been far higher, according to NSW Premier Chris Minns, who on Sunday praised the ordinary members of the public that cornered and murdered in the Western Shopping Center. Talking to reporters while standing outside the shopping mall, Minns underscored the role played by Inspector Amy Scott. She was the first emergency responder on the scene who shot and killed Cauchy and is being widely regarded as a hero. In a sure sign of the times, the incident sparked controversy on social media, with some conservative commenters calling it a terrorist attack, saying the murder was Middle Eastern. None of that proved to be true. And in one other instance, a Jewish man, Ben Cohen, was named as the perpetrator. That also was not true. Apparently, he's looking at pursuing legal action against the folks that posted that online.
Cool. Huh? What's your problem? Why is there this problem?
Why is that the deciding factor if someone's going to be outraged or not? I mean, five, you said five, right? Five women are dead.
Five women are dead, one man.
Okay, forget it. Sorry. I had a brain glitch.
At least 43 people shot, 7 fatally in gun violence across Chicago this weekend. The big one, Kenny mentioned this earlier on Saturday night, a mass shooting on Chicago's South Side left at least 11 people shot, including 4 children. The victims included 7 adults, 4 children, a 9-year-old girl shot in the head, was later pronounced dead at the hospital. A 1-year-old boy was shot twice in the abdomen, taken to a hospital in critical condition. An 8-year-old boy shot in the abdomen, left with critical injuries. The adult victims' ages ranged from 19 to 14. No one yet is in custody in that shooting. Area detectives say they are investigating the various shootings around Chicago this weekend.
Can you pin down the area where that was a little more? Where's it say? Just say South Side.
Yeah, that's all I have. Chicago South Side. I do not have a
truly unbelievable. It's just two worlds. There's a dividing line somewhere, and it has to be a east-west street. I don't know which street it would be, but it's a no man's land. Thanks, John.
Okay. Well. And on that note,
did you you sent some stuff out social media on? What did you do with your Grunhofer's brats?
My Grunhofer's brat. What I did is I got out the crock
pot. Matthew, stop! Huh. If you ever include me in one of these things again, I'm coming down there.
Yeah,
these you got at the White Bear, the new White Bear store for Grunhofer's. It's on Highway 96 and Birch Lake Square. You were there for the Easter ham, and you loaded up on brats. Now, I think you've been getting some criticism for what you did. What did you do?
I'll help you.
I chopped up an onion. I put a bottle of Kona beer in the crock pot and dropped the 6 or 7 brats in there and let them cook on low for about 5 hours. And it softens.
Just in water?
Just in beer.
Yeah, in beer.
In one beer. And it softens them. To the point where they taste delicious. It's a different than a snap that you'd get on the grill.
Yeah.
But they're still juicy. They don't lose any juice because you're not draining it on the grill. And then you can brown them up if you want to on the grill for 5 minutes.
Isn't that what you did?
Yes,
well,
on the Blackstone.
In theory, he did everything correctly. However, on his Twitter post, he said, yes, Grunhofer's Joe Suchere, 5 hours in the crock pot on the Blackstone for 5 minutes, meaning his grill. However, the company he tagged is Blackstone, the world's largest alternative asset manager. Learn more on LinkedIn at Blackstone on social media.
See, if you use Grunhofer's...
backfired on you, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
Dumb.
It really did.
I'll exclude you
next time, Kenny. I'm sorry.
If you use Grunhofer's old-fashioned meats or enjoy them, you can have this kind of fun, too. Exactly. Trying to post things
that
make no sense.
This is not, Matthew, this is not a lovable trait about you, okay? I'm just telling you
I'm
as a friend.
On Twitter.
This is what makes people hate you, okay?
I don't think anyone hates you.
Oh, there are. Believe me, they're out there.
Yeah. Oh, trust me. Rookie.
Let's not have any hating. We're talking about Grunhofer's.
You made me LOL with your wonderful Grunhofer's tweet.
Thank you. I enjoyed it very much.
There's the flagship store. Just a mile north of Hugo or so on Highway 61, Grunhofer's Old Fashioned Meats. There's the store in Forest Lake just east of 35E on Highway 97. And the new store on 96 between 35 and, say, Highway 61 on Highway 96 going into White Bear. It's in the Birch Lake Square. And every store is loaded with the same wonderful brats, steaks, ham, bacon.
Bitcoin advice.
Cheese, name it. They've got everything. And I was pleased to see your attempt to whatever you did to those brats because it sounded good to me.
Yeah, well, even though I attempted to do the Blackstone grill.
Serious question. When you brown them, does that give a snap back to the skin of the bratwurst?
Yes, but... It's not the same. It's a different snap. It's not as intense as
a different snap.
It's a looser snap.
It's not that snap.
No, because that's part of what brats dry out because they get there's a hole in them and they lose all their juice. But Blackstone, please follow me. You've got 134,000 followers. So
are you
jump on the?
Why do you keep plugging them? Are you on the
what
payroll?
What is Blackstone?
Yeah,
Blackstone's
what's going on with
town.
You? What's the alternative motive?
You could get a...
If Grunhofer sold it, I would say it's the hottest grill in town. It's not the hottest grill in town. The hottest grill in town is your grill, whatever grill you have.
Thank you.
To use your Grunhofer's old-fashioned meats.
You cannot stop him. He'll just make a move. Joe Soucheray.
Doesn't look like it will be this Friday. We're heading towards a cooling off. But when we have that garage door opener, you know who's going to be right there with us? Precision Garage Door of the Twin Cities.
That's right.
And they will sponsor that opener. Brooke, I have a big, big problem.
What do you got?
I can't find the sheet of openers.
Wait, I made you a copy last year.
I know, and I don't know what happened.
No, it's got to be posted up there.
No, well, I have either... You probably have the original, but I have a copy of it, I think, at home.
Well, you
and I made it for this specific reason.
Good. Could you prove it to
what
me
do you
and
think
bring it
the
in?
The odds are that that piece of
zero,
that piece of paper
zero.
Will be transferred internally into your arms.
Zero.
Okay.
What is our latest?
So you're an optimist.
That's why I need the sheet. I think we've
too bad
gone
you
into
lost
May.
It. Yeah, I do. I recall a late May. In fact. Wasn't there one right before? Because he remember the one that happened and he wasn't here because it was Memorial
why
Day weekend.
Why don't you, much the way you make up the show numbers just randomly, why don't you just make up a bunch of dates?
I'm not making up the show numbers. Today was 1,287. We have the rookie version of the game of Scrabble.
Oh, what is it?
Scrabble.
Is it food-based?
Scrabble has launched a new, less intimidating version.
Oh,
the dumb version.
Wait a minute. I thought it was going to be like food and hammock, you know, hammocking with your wife.
This game's been around for 75 years, and now they've decided that...
The most letters you can use in one word is three.
Right. If you find words intimidating, this new game's for you.
I do.
You're famous for saying bleep that
bleep
word.
This is the bleep that word Scrabble edition.
Well, the aim is to bring people together.
Oh.
And you know, if, let's say you're laying around on a hammock with somebody, you could get out the Scrabble game and... they've come up with words that just don't bother anybody. They're not intimidating.
Like he, him, she, her.
You know, I remember the origin of bleep that word. In fact, you were, because it was when we were all still in the studio. You were sitting right next to Joe, and he said something like, obfuscator. He's using one of his, and you said, F that word.
What was the word? Instigation, not instigation.
I can't remember.
Macrovation or something like that, and I didn't know. But the word, when you called Brian Wilson's music lush.
It was lush.
I was like, what the hell is that? What does that mean?
Lush.
Lush.
I don't think I've ever,
lush?
I've never played Scrabble, but isn't the objective to... You come up, the players come up with the word?
Yes. I gave up on the story because it didn't, I can't find anything in here to explain to me what they mean by that.
Plus, yeah, I've been reading it too and I don't get it.
I don't get it. So I don't know what count. I mean, what if you put a word that's intimidating? Would that count?
Yeah.
If I was playing you, you might say, nope, intimidating
cat,
word.
Would it be, with a C.
Would it be easier to accumulate points? Is that the whole point behind this?
They add a second side to the board that is a collaborative and faster pace to make gameplay more accessible.
That's it right there, collaborative. It's not
competitive. Oh, then use a big word for it.
Instead of competing, players collaborate to complete goal cards. Well, and there are higher cards if assist. There are helper cards if assistance is required. So it sounds like you take one of these right to the Twitch farm.
Well, what they should do is they should have, like, operation, a little buzzer that your fingers are attached to. So if you spell something wrong, they zap you a little bit.
Right.
I see this failing so fast that I think you should buy one. Keep it in the wrapper, give it to your youngest grandchild, and tell them, open this up or sell this in 80 years. It'll be worth a million.
Capsule.
Yeah, this will be worth $1 million.
They're all on pins and needles because a new Taylor Swift album debuts this week.
You got my email, did you?
I'm way ahead of you, pal. Way ahead of you.
You know, usually, Joe, usually what happens when an artist comes out with a new album, usually
Thursday night, midnight, 11 p.m. All right, Kenny?
Okay. Usually, I thought I was informing you.
No.
You want to borrow the hammock?
Yeah.
Usually what happens when an artist releases a new album, a new concert tour is then usually
That's announced. Right.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Backed by popular demand.
No. Here's how you do it. If you save $1,000 every paycheck, yep, you'll be able to afford.
I've done my duty.
You know, this could almost be like a movie, a trilogy. You know, you could just keep doing this over and over again.
He set the bar too high time.
This is on you.
Yep.
Scott County and Carver County.
I'm very familiar.
They're adjoining, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Adjoining. They're next to each other.
Yeah, yes, yes. Separated by
Did adjoining throw you? I guess we won't have that as a new
scramble word.
Not
going
to be able to play that game.
So Congress has approved $500,000 for the Miriam Junction Trail and Riverbed Stabilization Project, which will connect Scott and Carver County's trail systems over the Minnesota River.
Huh.
Amy Klobuchar, Tina Smith, and Angie Craig requested the money. The project will build a series of four bridges over a 2.4-mile stretch across the Minnesota River, connecting other existing trails to create a link between the trail systems of Scott and Carver County. Okay, but it's going to cost $22 million.
For how federal. Many miles?
$22 million.
They're federal dollars, Joe, or state?
No, Scott and Carver is going to have to come up with $22.5 million. So the feds, you know, they're taking a bow because they kicked in $500. It's all your money. The feds don't have any money.
Is it going to disrupt wildlife?
And so I don't understand this. Are you familiar with this trail?
Very familiar. But the only
is
thing
it a biking trail?
Well, it's both. It's multi-purpose. But the only thing I can think of is, and Kenny would know this, that area floods really bad every spring.
Yeah, is that the same trail I used to ride on snowmobile in the winter?
I don't know for sure.
I'd get on it on Highway 41.
Snowmobile?
Yeah. On sled. I'd get on it Highway 41 there at Chaska and ride the upriver.
Potentially, but I guess I can't speak for certain, Kenny. I'm not sure.
Right. Well, both Chaska and Carver will become trail destinations, and it's going to be pretty and lovely and everything. It's only going to cost $22.5 million.
That's it. It's a bargain.
It's too bad the worst governor in the state's history blew the $18 billion, because you could slip $22 million out of that. It wouldn't even be a pocket change.
Well, it looks like part of it did come from the state. So
yeah,
there's 11 different sources for funding.
Wow,
including at least $4 million in state capital funding.
Happy to pay more for a better Minnesota.
I don't see those signs anymore. I think everyone's seen the light.
They're still have that
paying more.
Uh-huh. I still have that letter to the email we got so much enjoyment out of. We get what we pay for. Remember that, Jim?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. She was happy that her taxes were high, right?
Yep. Yep.
Only Because, brought to you by Renewal by Anderson, the finest replacement windows in the business. Only Because they come to us all the way from Apache Junction, Arizona, from the Traveling Lymans. It was on this day.
Tax day, April 4th, 15th.
1892, the Lake Traverse Reservation of the Sisseton, Wahpeton, Dakota. 600,000 acres in North and South Dakota across the western Minnesota border from Browns Valley was open to settler colonists. That's a term the failed academy is just loving to use now, settler colonists, because they're all evil. In a scene reminiscent of the Oklahoma land rush, a gunman shot a pistol at noon and the stampede of prospective settlers began. On this day,
April 15th.
In 1912, the school children of St. Paul selected the city's official flower, the sweet pea, in an election sponsored by the city's women's clubs. Other choices included the Coropus, Marigold, Petunia, and Aster. News of their choice was overshadowed by what? Now, we've had this day in history for years, and it's always the same stuff when we get to April 15th.
But it happened about a year ago.
It was 1912. News of their choice was overshadowed by reports of the
Titanic sinking.
Thank you, Kenny.
Oh.
On this day,
415.
In 1916, the first regulated trout season began.
The first regulated trout season.
That's right.
Did that open Saturday or is it next Saturday? It's right around now.
Well, it must be because, you know, happened around this time in 1916.
Yeah, it's always traditionally been tax day when it opens.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Traditionally.
On this day,
April 15th,
in 1944.
He just gave me the what's coming up on the right.
What do you got there?
Who did?
You.
No, I didn't.
Joe, I have pancreatic cancer.
Is he out here?
What's coming up on the right?
Is he out here?
Yes.
Pat.
Yes.
All right, never mind. On this day, in 1944, the Farmer Labor Party, which ain't around anymore, and Minnesota's Democratic Party, which ain't around anymore, agreed to merge their joint venture, and they were going to call it the DFL, right?
Yep.
And a slate of candidates was quickly chosen to meet the filing deadline 2 days later. The Democratic Farmer Labor Party, which no longer exists, was unique to Minnesota. Yeah, because for a long time it probably worked, but there is no more DFL party in
now
Minnesota.
It's the Minnesota Socialist Party.
That's right. I'm being quite serious. There is no more DFL party. We still use that term, but they're not DFLers the way they were when they formed in 1944, for Pete's sake.
That's right, Mr. Scrabble.
That's right. That's right.
Where are you now?
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Yeah. GLers.
Yes. Hey, don't forget, the Target Field Town Council takeover, we're up to 70% of the tickets have been claimed.
I can't wait. I like a day ball game. I haven't seen one in ages.
I'll be out there in the pontoon. Okay. Look for me there.
You'll buy us the first beer?
Yeah, I sure will.
Thursday, May 9th, as Minnesota takes on Seattle, you can claim your tickets right now by going to GarageLogic.com. Not a town council member? Not a problem. All you got to do, just sign up for the council and then claim your tickets. You can learn all about it and claim your tickets online at the website, GarageLogic.com.